The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch. John's engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio for this Friday. It's November the 8th, 2019. Hope you had a great week and are looking forward to a nice weekend. The weather should be beautiful. We are live weekdays during the noon hour. It's where we've been since January of 2011. On 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news talk. We have worldwide live listening, all of our podcasts available for you. Very convenient. Just go to buckmastershow.com. They're all listed there by date, and so it's very easy to use. On Friday, we do a media partner shout-out. Our friends at TucsonSentinel.com and Dylan Smith, thank you to them. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, we thank Dan Shear and his group. Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications includes Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly. That's Jim Ninslow, the executive editor over there. We'll hear from him later in the hour. Oral Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Friday Focus interview today is the newly elected Tucson City Councilwoman in Ward 4. Democrat Nikki Lee is here. Nikki is a native of my home state of Illinois. Yay. There you go. She's an Air Force veteran and Raytheon Missile Systems employee. She will be sworn in December the 2nd for the Ward 4 seat that has been held by Shirley Scott for 24 years. So Nikki will be taking over coming up December the 4th. She was successful turning back a bid from Mike Hicks. Nikki garnered a little over, it was 57.4%, right, Nikki?
Yes.
And
yes.
Mike Hicks had 37.8%. Let's welcome Nikki. Nikki, thank you very much for coming.
Thanks for having me back, Bill.
Congratulations on your victory. Also with us in studio, Sarah Garrett-Gasson is here, editorial page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, how are you?
I am doing well, thanks.
Did you have a good week?
I did. It's been busy.
Oh, yes.
But
and the
productive.
News business election weeks are always busy.
That is very
there
true.
There you go.
Very true.
Nikki, obviously you were pleased with the vote. Why do you think voters liked what you were saying about what you hoped to accomplish in your agenda? What were some of your thoughts?
You know, I think... Well, this whole experience has just been incredible. You know, it really hit me yesterday when I was updating some of my social media stuff and I took the word candidate off of there and I put the dash elect at the end of
right.
Tucson City Councilwoman. And that was ironically the thing that really made it all sink in for me. So seeing that, you know, 48,000 Tucsonans filled in a bubble next to my name, it's just still blows my mind, you know, that many people are on board, and it's very exciting. But before I even put my platform together, I tried to assemble a lot of people and get a lot of input about what people in Ward 4 care about. I know, you know, I've lived out there for the past 8.5 years, and I've always been deeply involved in the community. So I thought I knew what people wanted to hear and what they wanted me to do. But I did a lot of research and groundwork to make sure that I was in tune with that. So it's really just the fundamental things for the city. It's our roads, it's getting potholes addressed, it's our parks, and it's public safety. And I really made that the focus, you know, of the campaign. And then I put on the additional layers of additional things that my strengths are going to bring to the table. But I think that just getting back to the basics really resonated.
Do they care about downtown Tucson, your constituents?
I think people, and myself included, we love to go downtown. We love to enjoy the great restaurants and the events and the music and everything. But the east side is pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. A lot of people live out there for a reason, and it's a great place. So we really want to focus on the growth that's going to be happening out there and how we're going to do that in a sustainable way, make sure that our roads are in good condition to enable that growth. And that's really what people are focused on out in Ward 4.
Sarah, I saw in the article that our friend Joe Ferguson did, talking with Rahina Romero, the mayor-elect, the day after the election. Rahina's talking about child welfare issues.
Yes.
A big deal with you, I know, and I think Nikki is concerned about that as well. And I know Rahina told Joe that she'd like to expand KidCo.
Yes. Yes, she did, which is great news. And another thing that I personally am very interested in is in early childhood and high-quality pre-K for as many children as possible. And I'm just curious, what are your thoughts about the KidCo program and then early childhood?
Yeah, so I was kind of telling Bill before we got started, I've got three kids myself. I've got a 13, 11, and a six-year-old. And when my first two were younger, they're only 22 months apart, and my husband and I both had to work. And it cost at that time to put both of my kids in childcare, it cost more than our mortgage payment.
Wow.
And that is not unusual at all. Fortunately, we had the means to do it because our jobs paid well enough for us to be able to make that kind of a, you know, cost trade out. But that is not something that every family at all can accomplish. So childcare is incredibly expensive. Logistics are challenging, but it's a huge investment in the children to give them that structured education from an early age. I mean, you can tell, you know, children who have had that versus children that haven't are more likely to hit those milestones for reading, which are going to really enable them to be successful for all the other key milestones through eighth grade math, just all the way through their career. So it's really important that we invest in our kids. So any opportunity that we have to do that, I'm gonna research and get behind what makes the most sense for us, for sure.
Sarah, can you kind of give us a little background? What's been the relationship with the city as far as this issue is concerned?
Well,
you've become like this is one of your big deals, and you know the background better than I do. So go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Bill, for bringing this up. Yeah, it's It's been underway for a while. In 2017, there was the voter initiative within the city limits, which would have done a sales tax for high-quality preschool for kids in the city limits, and that failed. The idea was great. The plan as proposed was not what was right for the time. But in the wake of that, a group has come together, the people who supported that effort and people who – no one disagreed with the goal, really.
Yeah.
It was just the how to do it. And so we met, the different sides have come together. It's a really strong grassroots coalition that I've become part of. This is a big issue for me personally, and have written a lot about it. But it's called the Preschool Promise now,
okay.
And you can go to thepreschoolpromise.org and find out more about what's going on locally. At this point, we are trying to figure out, you know, funding is always the big question. So I'm very encouraged to hear both what the incoming mayor, Rahina Romero, has said about the need and worthy investment in high-quality early childhood education. And I'm really glad to hear what Nikki has said about that, because I hope with that leadership on the council, on the city council, that there will be an investment and a buy-in and a dedication to getting the Preschool Promise.
Because KidCo isn't really a preschool.
KidCo is for after school.
Yeah.
It's activities, and it's great.
And it's done very well. I remember going back quite a ways, Mayor Miller was very big on that, and he may have even spearheaded that originally. So
yeah,
anyway.
it's just so important all the way from early childhood, you know, 3 and 4, high quality.
What
preschool.
Better investment, right, than the kids?
Absolutely, and it is an investment. That's the important thing that you're both saying.
Mm-hmm.
Between Mayor-elect Romero and Lane and Paul and I, we have a dozen kids. We've got 12 kids.
Wow.
So we have a small, I don't know how many, what is it, 11 on the football field? We
yeah.
have one sub.
Yeah.
but we, you know, education, children, our future is something that we're all focused on.
All right. This is a good point to take our first break. And Sarah, you know what I like to talk about on Friday about this time, don't you?
I sure do.
What is it?
It is
Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. And even though, Sarah and Nikki, the Kringle is kind of available a year round, it just, this time of year, you know, Kris Kringle, it just seems like it's more of kind of a holiday thing. Have you heard of the Kringle, Nikki?
This is the first time I've heard of
this
said
is wonderful
Kringle.
Because owner and chief baker Steve is listening right now, and he would always be happy to have a new customer up at his fine bakery, which is called Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They do a beautiful job, not only with all the breakfast, they're open right now for lunch, but yes, they are gearing up, and we'll be talking about it more next week as we get closer to Thanksgiving. You know, it's always nice, Nikki, to have beautiful rolls on your Thanksgiving table, and how about some, like, pastries for Thanksgiving morning? Anyway, Steve and the team at Mona's can take care of you there. It's monasdanishbakery.com is the website, and again, they're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Tucson City Councilwoman-elect Nikki Lee will be with us for the second segment, and Sarah Garrett-Gaston of the Star as we continue. Just about 12:15 on The Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today. The newly elected Tucson City Council member in Ward 4, Nikki Lee, is with us. Sarah Garrett-Gaston is here from the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah is the editorial page editor, and she also writes a column. In that interview that Joe Ferguson did with Rahina Romero, Nikki, Rahina was pledging to bring a kind of a new wave of outside investment into the city while also creating an incentive program for small and locally owned businesses. I think there's this, and I think it's a misconception. I know that people have said, well, you've got this very progressive, Democratic-led city council that just doesn't care about business. I think that is a misconception.
Yeah, I would agree, just not associating Democrats with opportunities for our residents here.
And the tech park is... are your constituents.
Right. There's the tech park is out in our area as well, and there's a lot of exciting things happening out there. So we have a lot of opportunity, and I think we have the focus and the skill set to be able to recognize that opportunity and help push it forward.
Do they have, is there room for growth out there?
Oh, yeah. Yep. There's a lot of room out in our area. So, you know, I just this morning was meeting with Councilmember Scott. I just came here from meeting with her and looking at some of the big projects and the big things that she's pushed for years to get, you know, for decades to get to the point that we're at now, because she's been a visionary and seeing the things that the potential that we have in Ward 4. So really, as she passes the baton to me, it's really about supporting that growth, making sure that the zoning process is in place, that it makes sense, that it's not an inhibitor, you know, it's not a barrier for the businesses and the people that want to come out and start building and creating opportunity. And that's going to be one of the biggest things that I'll be working through is really the growth out there.
Here's Sarah.
Speaking of growth out on the east side, for people who don't get out to the east side very often, because it's so easy for us all to get sort of, you know, in where we live and our shops and all of that and get sort of isolated.
Geographic centric.
Yes. Yes. That's a better way to put it. So with the east side, is it residential? Is it business growth? How do you describe the east side to people who may not know other than just driving out to Speedway?
Yeah, well, we obviously have a lot of residential, we have a lot of space out there. It kind of feels like as you're driving from Midtown out, you can kind of breathe a little bit easier. There's more space for you to breathe. That's kind of what it feels like. And if you ever have your GPS up while you're driving somewhere and you have the satellite view, you can really see the density as you're driving in, and you can see things get a little more spread out. So it just feels different out there. Not to sound weird, but it just feels different out there. So we have a lot of residential. We also have space for, you know, the Amazons that came out here. We have big space for the Port of Tucson, which I'm really excited about the opportunity and the competitive advantage that the Port of Tucson gives us over even Phoenix when we're talking about manufacturing jobs and trade with Mexico and from the East Coast to the West Coast. It gives us a really great advantage. So I think that we're going to be seeing that. We're going to see, in order for us to be less dependent on vehicles out there, we have to have more things that are more walkable. I live in the Savano area, where within our neighborhood, we have a bakery, we have places to get your hair done, we have an eye doctor, we have a dentist, all within a neighborhood. And that's very beneficial to the people that are, you know, elderly in our community. They don't have to go far to get to the places that they need to get to. So I really think that is a good model for how we as a society can start to organize our neighborhoods so that we don't have to be as dependent on vehicles and we can be more walkable and really build that community.
I kind of remember when that whole Savano thing started, don't you, Sarah?
I do. I remember looking at houses out there.
Yeah. And wasn't it? It was kind of started off as like a, I don't want to say a commune, but it, like a planned community.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Built around some greenery, right?
Yes. Every house out there has solar
there
capability.
You go.
Okay. So it's very environmentally focused, but really, it's just the most community that I felt. Outside of, you know, where I grew up when everyone knew your name, because you only have 1,400 people in your hometown and you're related to half of them.
Small town feel that you kind of get at Savannah.
Right. So it's very community oriented when you have those spaces, those places for people to come and get together.
How has it grown, Savannah?
How
many people do you think are in that area?
I think there's about 700 or 800 homes in the Savano community itself. And then I live in kind of the secondary Savano area. Mm-hmm. And we have about 1,245 homes in that area. But all around us, we can see the signs of growth happening. So it's a good area to be in. It's I'm very optimistic about our future out there.
Good. Sarah, I would think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but right at the top of my list would be we've got to really come to grips with what we're going to do about police in the community as far as staffing.
Yes. Yeah. And I've wondered if with the you and Lane Santa Cruz coming on and Regina Romero becoming mayor, if there's sort of a renewal or a different spirit, kind of how do you think the newcomers and the with the new mayor is going to shape how the Tucson City Council operates?
Just in general?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that looking across all of the council members and Mayor-elect Romero, we all, although we all have the same letter after our names, we all have very different life experiences, very different perspectives. Three of us have served in the military, two Army, one Air Force, and Councilmember Cunningham and I were on the doors last weekend, and we talked to a Vietnam veteran. He'd served three tours as a Marine in Vietnam, and he warned me about being around too many Army men and to not be influenced by them, but that was pretty funny. But you know, we all have very different backgrounds and perspectives and ways that we approach things. So I think that on a lot of areas, we're going to be aligned. And I think there's going to be areas where we're all going to have different ways of how we want to get things done. So I think it'll be interesting.
I think homeless veterans is probably going to be a concern to you and the council members.
Oh, for sure. Homelessness in general is just, you know, everyone should have their basic needs. That people should not have to live on the streets. So I think regardless, that's going to be a huge issue for us. And I'm really excited to see how this plays out.
And that's what the Air Force brought you to Tucson originally,
it
right?
Did.
Yeah,
it
that's
did.
How you first learned about our community.
I did. I got stationed here 16 years ago. And then when it was time to get out, I didn't want to go anywhere else. I wanted to stay here and start the family. And here we are.
Well, we thank you for your service because we've got Veterans Day coming up, of course, on Monday. Getting back to police, you think we're going to be able to find the money to get the staffing up to where we need to have it in this community?
You know, I've tried to dig into the root cause of needing more police officers. And I also hear that it's kind of hard to find people that want to be police officers. It's not
many of them are trained here in Tucson. They go to outlying areas and they want to come back to Tucson.
Right.
Which is good that they want to come back, but it's
Welcome
not
home.
Good that we're losing people after a couple of years. We lose them because of the pay or whatever.
So I think there's a lot of dynamics that go into that. You know, the funding piece is obviously important. We've got to put our money where our mouth is. Public safety is a primary function of what we do, and people need to feel safe, and we need to have good response times. We also have to make sure that we have the people coming into that career field, because I can understand. I mean, as military, mm-hmm. Bill, you and I were talking on a break, only about 1% of our population
Less
are military
than
vets.
1% of the American population has ever served in the military.
So I'm sure they have those same challenges with recruiting people who are willing to put on a uniform, willing to go out in harm's way every single day. So that's also part of the challenge. And it's not the most glamorous job ever. So it takes a special kind of person to raise their hand and do that. And we have to find them and support them.
I think there have been positives, Sarah. The road, people have voted now, citizens of Tucson voted to spend money to improve the roads. The citizens of Tucson voted to improve our parks. This is all within the last few years. The citizens of Tucson have an issue that, as you know, is very dear to my heart, animal welfare. They've worked on approving the money for the zoo over 10 years. So I think there are positives, Nikki, that are happening in the community.
I think so, too. And I think that, you know, I'm hoping that the community is seeing more value from the city government. They're feeling more confident and they're seeing results. So that's a good indicator. And so, yeah, I'm hopeful.
Sarah, any final thoughts?
Well, I was curious if you were surprised that the pay increase for Tucson City Council did not pass.
20 years that's gone down.
I was not surprised at that result. It is, you know, we don't do it for the money. I can speak for most of us in public service. You know, even in the military, I think I used to get like $600 every 2 weeks when I first went into the military with no stripes. So you don't do it for the money. You do it for the service. I do think, though, people in the future will get more value from their council members if they don't have to balance other jobs. If there is a living wage to the council members, I think the community itself, the city itself, will actually realize much more benefit than, you know, than not. But I was not surprised.
All right. Nikki Lee, we want to wish you all the best. You'll be sworn in December the 2nd. That will be a big occasion in your life for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having
much.
Me.
All right. Sarah Garrett-Gasson sticks around and joining us on the live line after we take our mid-show break, Jim Nintzel of the Tucson Weekly. He's got some thoughts, obviously, on this past week's election and the Sanctuary City movement. That measure that was so soundly defeated. We'll be talking about that as we continue. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday focus interview today with Nikki Lee. It was interesting to hear what Nikki has planned, what's on her agenda as she takes over in the Ward 4 council seat. Sarah Garrett-Gasson is with me in studio. Jim Nintzel of the Tucson Weekly. The executive editor is with us on the live line. Jim, I didn't realize Shirley Scott had been in that seat in Ward 4 24 years.
Yeah, Bill, and I'm feeling a little creak in my bones as I remember when I started interviewing her.
Me too.
That campaign way back when. So, she'd been a mainstay on that council.
You just brought something up that I was trying, because I've been in town now over 30 years, and Sarah Garrett Gasson, perhaps you can recall this too. Who did Shirley then run against? Was it Janet? Did Janet Marcus hold that seat? Do you recall?
Janet was over in Ward 2.
Okay.
They served together, if memory serves, until Janet retired to run for mayor in 99.
Okay.
She replaced Roger Settlemyer.
Ah.
She won a primary against someone who used to work for the city, but whose name escapes me
right. All
these years later. And I don't recall many of her Republican opponents in retrospect.
Okay. But I do remember certainly interviewing Shirley going back to that first run we had her on TV.
Yeah, cobwebs off herself.
We interviewed her many times as a council person and then a couple of times on radio. But she kind of, Sarah and Jim, sort of flew under the radar screen here lately. Not kind of very low-key, wouldn't you say?
I would agree with that. I think that once you're in office for that long, maybe you don't feel the need to be out and about and doing media as much. But yeah, she's always sort of been, I think, under the radar is a good way to put it.
It was very nice as Nikki was leaving, Jim, leaving the studio here. She mentioned to Sarah and myself that she was going to be very available to the media. And us media types like to hear that, don't we, Jim?
Absolutely, and she certainly has been with me any time I've reached out in terms of her campaign for the legislature last year or campaign this year.
And mm-hmm.
I think that's always good to make sure you're out there letting the community know what it is you're doing.
All right, so let's plow into the election, and there not really that much to plow into as far as surprises. Jim Nintzel, I would say, and Sarah Garrett Gasson, that I was surprised. I'd been saying, I didn't say it on the air, but my kind of prediction to people was about, I thought that the Sanctuary City would get about 40 to 45% of the vote. That's what I was predicting, and boy, it just underperformed, didn't it?
I was surprised by the margin against it as well. I did not think it would pass. The proponents of this, did a lot of hard work in getting it on the ballot, and they certainly went door to door trying to convince voters to support it. But I just don't think they gave much thought about what it was going to be like to run a campaign against hundreds of thousands of dollars in opposition to their proposal, and they didn't go out there and raise money. Now, I'm not even sure if they'd raised $500,000, they would have been able to pass this, because I think there were just a lot of doubt in the minds of voters about whether this was really necessary within the city of Tucson. I mean, I think the point was made a lot that the Tucson Police Department the Tucson City Council has changed the general orders for the Tucson Police Department to work as sensitively within the confines of SB 1070. And I also think that, having the opposition from all the council members was not helpful. It just sent a message that this was not something that was necessary within the city of Tucson, because it wasn't really solving a major problem. And I think it also, I think to some extent, a lot of voters were just feeling like declaring ourselves a sanctuary city would just be inviting trouble from state lawmakers and perhaps even the federal government.
Sarah, the Arizona Daily Star, your editorial came out against 205. However, there was some, as I recall, in the editorial, there was intent. In other words, how am I trying to phrase this? That the idea perhaps deserves some merit.
Yes, absolutely. What we said in our editorial about why we were coming out against 205 was basically that we support the idea, we stand with the supporters of 205 in separating local law enforcement from enforcing the being the arm of the Trump immigration policy, such as it is, but that this particular initiative, the way it was written, was not the way to do that, and that there is another way, and that is to work with, as has been done before, the city council, Tucson Police Department, citizens groups, and change the general orders even further that really outlines what Tucson police can and can't do. And that if there is an issue, if there is a problem and that TPD is not following what they're supposed to be doing, like they're not supposed to be inquiring about the immigration status of a victim or a witness of a crime. If there are problems with that, that is something that needs to be handled and should be handled very forthrightly, but within the department, that's something that we can do. But there are parts of the initiative that I think should be put into the general orders.
Jim, there's talk now that state lawmakers, even though this was soundly defeated up in Phoenix, they're still very worried about local sanctuary policies, and there's talk of some kind of restriction that State Representative John Kavanaugh, the Republican from Fountain Hills, talking about proposed legislation allowing victims of felonies to sue local governments if harmed by policies that limit immigration enforcement. So obviously this wasn't enough for the state lawmakers to move on to something else.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the downsides of this campaign, was it? And certainly something I think the city attorney expressed some concern about is that it did bring up what's going on here in Tucson across the radar screen of some state lawmakers, and you may certainly see some legislation of that type floating around up there. On the other hand, there has been a lot of efforts by the governor's office and others to kind of tamp down this illegal immigration related legislation. And you haven't seen that much of it up there, so whether this will actually go anywhere remains to be seen.
Yeah, far be it from local voters making a local decision to get in the way of some Republicans' campaign up in Maricopa County.
Jim, what are some of your thoughts, and I'd like to hear from Sarah as well, about Ed Ackerley's campaign? Sarah, let's begin with you. How did you think his campaign went?
Well, I think it was reflected in the vote against Raheena Romero. I think Dr. Ackerley, being a lifelong registered Democrat and then switching to independent I give him credit for being forthright, saying he didn't think he could win as a Republican. And then in an interview with us at the Star's editorial board, he was talking about how he was kind of a Democrat in name only, and that just did not sit well with voters. It was kind of a uneventful sort of generic campaign, I guess I would want to say. And I mean, he and Raheena Romero agreed on a lot of stuff about.
Right, they did.
There was not a big distinction.
Yeah.
So I think it was kind of lackluster, and I think it was reflected in the vote.
Jim, what do you think of the Ed Ackerley campaign?
I think that plane sped around on the runway a lot, but never really figured out how to get into the air. I think it was just, Ed's a decent guy who's done a lot in the community over the years.
Yes, he has.
But I think he had kind of hoped, I think, to kind of follow the walk-up path, the Bob walk-up path of trying to capture Democrats who are unhappy with Raheena Romero, as well as Republicans and Independents. And there just weren't that many Democrats who were unhappy with Raheena Romero. I mean, there's certainly a pocket of staunch Republican resistance to Raheena Romero, but it was ironic to see the Bob Walkup, the very mayor that Ackerley was trying to pattern his campaign on, came out and endorsed Raheena Romero. And I just think a lot of the hysteria about how business unfriendly Raheena would be on the part of hardcore Republicans did not transfer to the rest of the community.
Jim, I think it's really interesting that you said that about Bob Walkup, because again, in our editorial board interview with Raheena Romero and Dr. Ackerley, or Ed Ackerley, I asked him, who do you kind of model yourself after? And it sounds like, Raheena Romero is sort of, she even said, going like the Jonathan Rothschild sort of mode. And I said, so Ed Ackerley, it seems that you're more the Bob Walkup type. Mm. And he totally rejected that. Mm. He totally said, no, absolutely, I'm not trying to do that. And so I think his perception of his own campaign was different than kind of how it was seen by everyone else.
Jim, I want to move on to another topic, and then I want to I'll come back to Sarah. The Star has got some interesting things coming up this weekend. We've only got a few minutes left. Martha McSally's been asked repeatedly, Jim, about this whole Ukraine matter and impeachment, and she's just not talking about it, is she?
Well, she talks about it. She talks about it, about how the House Democrats are really out of control with looking into this matter, but she won't actually express a thought on the matter. She dodged CNN cameras yesterday with an aide telling them no comment on whether she believed it was appropriate for the President of the United States to run a shakedown operation on the nation of Ukraine in order to dig up dirt on his political rival. She was asked on a telephone town hall twice this week, and she just falls back on the notion that, oh, the Democrats shouldn't be investigating this, and they're going about it all wrong, but she doesn't actually express an opinion on the heart of the matter that they are investigating, and she's been dodging this for weeks. We'll see whether she ever actually comes out and takes a stand on it, but we'll see what happens if charges end up in the Senate and what happens there. And it's going to be also real interesting to see what Sinema does, because Sinema's been a very unpredictable vote. Certainly has earned her reputation as an independent up there in the U.S. Senate. And in fact, if you look at the popularity ratings that are done by the Morning Consult poll, Kristen Sinema is considerably more popular than Martha McSally with Arizona voters right now.
Wow. All right, Sarah, what's coming up in the Star this Sunday?
Well, thanks for asking, Bill. On the editorial pages, the opinion pages, we have a piece about background checks on weapons and how they don't do anything useful from a local writer. And then I'll be writing again about our letters to the editor process. I wrote about that last week, basically saying we really do want to publish as many points of view as possible, but that we were bending the rules to get more points of view, which meant that the Republican letter writers are being published more often than our typical 30-day print guideline on that. And
so, because people just, there aren't as many Republicans writing letters to the editor for whatever reason.
Right. And so part of the reason I hear is, well, you would never publish it anyway, which, that's a good way to not get published, is to not submit something. And we can't publish letters we don't receive. So I really do hope that, I think that if you're going to complain about something not being published, then I think send something in and we will take a look and publish it if it meets all the publish, like you're not cussing someone or you're factual. So I hope that people will take that seriously And I'll be talking kind of more about the response that I've gotten from that column.
Jim, I want to wrap it up by saying the group that brought the 205, they are not done with issues in the community. I'm hearing maybe minimum wage is going to be the next effort that they will go after. What are you hearing, my friend?
Well, you know, from what I've seen on Facebook, they are saying that they may come back and run this one all over again, which I don't know why they would expect a different result at the end of the day. And then we'll see what mischief they get into next. But you know, I think that Zaira Livier, who was really the heart and soul of this campaign, did have a lot of success in helping with the passage of the statewide minimum wage issue a couple of years ago. So,
right.
She's a good organizer for sure, but you have to wonder where her attention will go next.
Who, by the way, who are they blaming on Facebook that you have seen for the defeat?
The big money spent against him, which certainly played a role, but was also entirely could entirely be anticipated, and just I think a general disappointment also in the media and the way this was covered, and the lies of the opponents, and the city council members who didn't support them, and there's a long list.
All right.
Honestly, of folks that they're unhappy with right now.
Okay, Jim Nitzel, thank you, Jim. Hope you have a great weekend, you and your lovely family.
Always. Thank you guys so much, and a happy weekend to you and your listeners.
Thanks very much. And Sarah, the same to you and your family. I hope it's a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks a lot. All right, coming up next, he is back from his Mediterranean cruise. Matt Russell, Weekend Watch. That's coming up on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and it's time for Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. What a beautiful time of year over in the high country, and that's what it is. That elevation, 5,000 to 7,000 feet, makes for cool nights and very pleasant. We used to call them Indian summer days in the Midwest, where you have those beautiful autumn days. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and so many ideas for recreation in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Weekend Watch now with Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage columnist Matt Russell, back from his lovely cruise, which I was following all the developments on Facebook. It looked like you had a fabulous time, Mr. Russell.
There is so much to talk about, Bill. I don't know. Do you think Dave Ramsey would mind if we just talked through the 1 o'clock hour?
You know, we have enough material to talk for the entire Dave Ramsey show. But
yeah, but I tell you what, Bon Voyage Travel did such an amazing job for us and our group, and we so enjoyed eating and drinking our way through the Mediterranean. We cannot wait to go back.
Well, Ryan Hansen, Rhino, as we love to call him. And his team at Bon Voyage, they do just such a fabulous job. So kudos to them. So I'm sure you're already talking about thinking of destinations for On the Menu Live, Matt Russell, year number two.
And there's a vote for the for French Polynesia, I think.
Yeah, and that came in from yours truly here. That sounds like a great destination, Tahiti. Hey, what's going on at Commoner and Company? Were they closed, Matt, for renovation?
Yeah, for 3 long months they were closed, Bill.
Whoa.
That's a long time. So you can imagine the scope of this renovation, but they are open once again on Sunrise in Kolb. You're not going to recognize the place, and you certainly can't reimagine a space without reimagining a menu, which makes it a perfect time to launch some of their new dishes and drinks for fall. Now, since I just got back from Greece, the braised lamb got my attention with goat cheese grits and a mint gremolata. And the cocktails also have a seasonal flair, like a new gimlet with vodka, sage, and a spiced pear puree. You've waited 3 long months for this moment. Commoner & Co. is opening yet.
That is exciting news. You know, autumn, we think of the vineyards around our area, and we've got some good ones.
We sure do. And, you know, one of my favorite Arizona wineries is Sand Reckoner. They're over in Wilcox, but they have a Tucson tasting room at 510 North 7th Avenue, and they're going to be hosting a 10th anniversary celebration this weekend. So tomorrow, the tasting room, they're going to be open from 1 to 9, featuring special wine selections. Some fresh oysters will be served from 5 to 7 p.m., and then live music from 7 to 9 p.m. And then on Sunday, Bill, a special tasting from 1 to 3 p.m. is going to feature flights of wine selected from Sand Reckoner Estate Vineyard, along with an array of gourmet cheeses. Give them a call for more information, 883-0121, and prepare to say happy tents to Sand Reckoner this weekend.
And again, the venue address, please.
Yeah, you bet. That is at 510 North 7th Avenue.
Very good. What's going on up at Hacienda del Sol?
Well, you'll be doing a tango, Bill, on Sunday, the 15th annual Argentina Heart and Soul Food and Wine Tasting. Of course, at Hacienda del Sol, it'll be an evening full of Argentinian wines and live music, regionally inspired fare like a big roasted pig, an Argentinian empanadas, and desserts like dulce de leche and some flan, of course. The Rafael Moreno Quartet is going to perform everything from samba to salsa, which will give you the opportunity to get up and dance off those fried plantains. Tickets are just $69. You can get them now at HaciendaDelSol.com.
Welcome home, Matt Russell. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill. You too.
The Buckmaster Show, the Bill Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music, which you hear at the beginning and usually the end of our program, by Chris Stefan. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, for making sure all those podcasts are up in a very timely manner. John Couch, thanks, John, engineering and producing the show. On behalf of everybody at Bustos Media, have a great weekend.